I'm Denise Morris, the host this morning, and I am here with two guests. I'm excited to have folks on this morning. I have Juliette Milan and Evan Birchfield.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm working off my computer today because my ink ran out on the printer, so bear with me as I roll through here. I wanted to just do very brief introductions and then have both of you talk about what you're doing and how you kind of came to the work, because you're doing some exciting stuff with the DSA Queer Caucus and a big event coming up this week to offset the corporate madness of Pride. So, Evan, you are originally from Medford, and you've been in Portland for over 6 years now, and you've become involved with DSA and, as I said, with Queer Caucus. And Juliette, you identify as queer trans woman living in Portland most of your adult life.
Yep.
That's good. You're a Portlander. And you became involved in queer organizing a couple years ago. I want to have you tell this, but I like this idea of ask a trans person anything booth at a Central Oregon Pride. Will that be happening again this year?
No.
Okay.
I don't have time, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's okay. You probably have other things to do than answer those questions. But why don't you go ahead then, start to just say a little bit more about what you are up to in your political and comedy career here.
Oh, yeah. I am a comedian, allegedly. People do pay me to show up on stage and do it on purpose, which is not a step that every comedian gets. And that's pretty cool. I wanted to say thank you real quick for getting my name right. Not everybody does that, so...
Really?
Yeah.
I thought about asking because I thought I could be different, but...
No,
I
nailed it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Way to go.
Right. Excellent. I'm doing
I
well.
Coach people and they get it wrong, like, all the time. Yeah, so I came out as trans and started transitioning in 2016, almost exactly 3 years ago, which, you know, was great timing on my part.
Yeah, right.
And as soon as after the election, I knew that I didn't want to hide from the world or be afraid. I don't respond well to fear, and I have an antagonistic response to it. So it really motivated me to go out and be seen and heard and talk and educate. And I know that if I'm not going to advocate for me, no one else is going to. And that's where the first steps were, doing the booth at Central Oregon Pride, really, really came in. So, yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Evan?
Yeah, so I've always been obnoxiously political for like most of my life, and but that's gone on. It's been an interesting journey of, you know, being raised conservative, dabbling in libertarianism for a while, just becoming a young adult who's not knowing what's right at all, and then finally, eventually, going through the phase of liberalism, which was really a space and time where, and I've heard people say that liberalism and neoliberalism is a mental disease. I can account for that. I was blaming myself for all the problems that I was having in the world. You know, there's some things that are on me, but not this situation of don't have wages, don't have healthcare, don't have the ability to actually, you know, survive in this world. So to actually get over them, it was, unfortunately, I think that we respond to crisis in the world more than we actually respond to actual like enlightenment. And it was the election of Donald Trump. And I'm just grateful that I did not go the other direction of fanaticism towards like hoping Robert Mueller is going to save the world for us or something like this. This is instead I found myself in DSA, took a little time, but I found myself in DSA. I got involved with some other activist groups along the way. And this has been a place where I actually believe we can build power. I believe we can challenge power. I believe we can take power back.
I have a hard time visualizing you as a neoliberal.
It wasn't pretty, I'm not going to lie.
Or a libertarian, I can kind of see. Actually.
Okay, ouch.
Yeah, no, it's the facial hair.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah. No, the beard was along for the whole ride, so.
The beard comes with the transition. Yeah, yeah. The transformation.
Yeah, right.
Mine didn't.
Right.
But.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got just a few, but yeah. Well, let's jump into with the time that we have to talk about the Queer Caucus in DSA. I thought it was had been kind of around for a while, but it's a new caucus, and and you've been very active in building it and being present and out there with some suggestions, let's say, for some people.
Yes, strongly worded suggestions.
Yeah, strongly worded suggestions and related to pride, which mm-hmm. then will bring us to our comedy event that we'll talk about yeah. later.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that the Queer Caucus really started getting formed. Well, DSA was growing so much last year, and that was because we had people. We were in the news a lot. There were things like Occupy ICE that was largely started here in Portland, but it became a nationwide movement. We also had the just the election of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, for better or worse, and mostly better, sometimes worse. But we saw so many people join DSA, and along the way, I met with a few queer people who, like myself, wanted radical queer activism to be a part of this city. And there are other groups who do things along this line. There's groups out there, and I don't want to say that they're not doing that work, but within DSA, we needed this. We have socialist feminists getting together. We have the formation of a POC group as well within Portland DSA, but queers were not as active. So we did that work. We laid the groundwork, and we've been trying to build community, reach out to people. When there were attacks against queers earlier this year, we mm-hmm. saw that as another responding to crisis. We had an opportunity to pull more people in. We met so many great comrades that way, mm-hmm. and now we have,
including me.
Yeah, including Juliet. That's how we met Juliet, through the community organizing that was going on in the months of February and March.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So as a result, we've created, I think, a really sturdy militant group, and I'm excited about what we're doing.
I'm not militant.
You could be, though.
Don't say that. It ruins my cover.
Yeah.
Did you have anything to add about the caucus? Or
I did want to talk about the letter, because I think that what was said in there is so important, especially right now. And it's pride itself is literally under attack right now throughout the country. And so when we're coming in and we're giving this messaging, and it makes it sound like we're unappreciative of the work that's been done. And that's not true. What we want is actual representation, and for it now more than ever, for these events to be about the community that they're supposed to be representing and protecting. It's specifically because neo-Nazis are interrupting pride parades with police escorts that we think that police shouldn't be at pride. Especially the Portland PD and how they've been responding, how they responded to the attacks earlier this year, and how they've actively been sort of, there's been evidence that came out of them collaborating with alt-right groups, and right. that right there is a non-starter. Like, right. how do you do that and decide to march? And so it's addressing that hypocrisy, and not just from police, but also from corporations that want to market to us, but not represent or protect us.
Yeah.
I was in Target recently, not to advertise Target, but mm-hmm. you know, I needed my toilet paper and my mouthwash and a couple things, and I ran into a pride display, like full on clothing and everything, and I thought, what planet am I on? Mm-hmm. And even in all my years, that was sort of a new thing, and I began to realize I was seeing this all over the place. Mm-hmm. So there's, on the one hand, there's this presentation of pride commercially mm-hmm. that has been really a part of pride for decades, you know.
Rainbow capitalism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So we have just about a minute and a half. Let's talk about the comedy event, because yeah. that is what we want people to visit upon this week.
Right. We are putting together DSA's first comedy show, I think.
We may have co-hosted one before.
But. Okay. But it's at Funhouse Lounge this Wednesday at 7:30. Tickets are $12 online right now. You can go to bit.ly/2019pride, which is an awesome domain. And you can get them right now, or you can get them at the door for $15. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be the DSA there if you want to learn more. And more than anything, it's going to be a fun event where we're going to be unashamed of being queer and being, you know,
radical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Funhouse Lounge is a great place.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, they do some great stuff. I had an opportunity to do to see a couple things last fall, maybe it was, but it is a really great venue. So,
and Andy, the owner, is a superb human being. So.
Right, and
as far as I'm aware.
So is there, we have just maybe about 15 seconds. I guess perhaps we should just leave it there. Folks will be able to, when we post this show, usually about the end of today, folks can go and go to the link kboo.fm/Old Mole Variety Hour and get this information. But where else can they get it?
The link that I just gave them, or genderf-k.com.
Gender F dash K dot com.
Thank you for confusing the audience.
Yeah. You're welcome.
And, you know, of course, the Google machine will take you there if you throw in a few cool keywords. So.
Yeah. And we're on Facebook, too. We're really easy to find.
Yes.
The Queer Caucus and TSA and What the Gender F and everything.
Awesome. Thank you both, Evan Birchfield, Juliet Milan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will have you back. You must.
Absolutely.
Must come back. All right. Excellent. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Old Mole Variety Hour.